John's Gospel, chapter 14, and just from verse 6. Jesus says to him, that's to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And then earlier in the Gospel, chapter 9, John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 1. "And as he passed on, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be manifested in him. I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud of the spittle, and put the mud as ointment on his eyes. And he said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is interpreted 'sent.' He went therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and those who used to see him before that he was a beggar, said, 'Is not this he that was sitting and begging?' Some said, 'It is he.' Others said, 'No, but he is like him.' He said, 'It is I.' They said therefore to him, 'How have thine eyes been opened?' He answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes, and said to me, "Go to Siloam and wash." And having gone and washed, I saw." They said therefore to him, 'Where is he?' He says, 'I do not know.'" We'll go down to verse 24. "They called therefore a second time the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is sinful.' He answered therefore, 'If he is sinful, I know not. One thing I know, that being blind before, now I see.' And they said to him again, 'What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes?' He answered them, 'I told you already, and you did not hear. Why do you desire to hear again? Do ye also wish to become his disciples?' They railed at him and said, 'Thou art his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as to this man, we know not whence he is.' The man answered and said to them, 'Now in this is a wonderful thing, that ye do not know whence he is, and he has opened mine eyes. But we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone be God-fearing and do his will, him he hears. Since time was, it has not been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not of God, he would be able to do nothing.' They answered and said to him, 'Thou hast been wholly born in sins, and thou teachest us.' And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said to him, 'Thou, dost thou believe on the Son of God?' He answered and said, 'And who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?' And Jesus said to him, 'Thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with thee is he.' And he said, 'I believe, Lord.'" I'd intended to read the first scripture, but was confirmed by the prayer at the end of the reading to read it. It was mentioned then. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." I think we just need to freshly understand something of what Jesus has done. There's no other one that we could speak of in the gospel, no other name which can be given amongst men whereby we must be saved, only the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The "I am," I think, is important to know. It gives the understanding of his power and authority. It's one of the "I ams" of scriptures, of scripture. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No one else could have said this. You know, you think of the world and you think of the people in it, and you think of all the words that have been spoken. We could never measure or number, could we, the words that have been spoken? We could never number or put a figure on the number of words that have been written. But I've read you just a few words that were spoken by Jesus and have been written so that we might have them and that we might understand them. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Well, do you know the way that everyone has to go if they're going to have to do with Jesus? He was the one who was sent from God. He came here, came in as a babe. It was said that in coming and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the one that we're speaking about, the way that everyone has to go if they're going to be brought into relationship with God, is to come to him and to find Jesus for themselves. Have you found Jesus? Have you come to him? Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as the way in which you can come into the presence of God? Well, you might say, well, that all sounds very simple, but how can that be? Well, if man tried to work it out, I don't think it could ever be. But God planned and purposed that his Son should come here into this world, and that he should be the one who should bear the judgment that should have been ours. We're all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. We all need a Saviour. We cannot come into the presence of God in the state in which we are. We're away from God. The distance between me as a sinner and God is too great to be bridged. But there's one who has done the work that I could never do. I could never atone for my sin. I have to acknowledge first, of course, that I am a sinner. Some may think that they're not. Some may think that they do what is right and seek to go along, fulfilling the laws of the land and not offending anybody. Some may think that that's enough. But dear friend, it's not enough. Every one of us is a sinner. Scripture tells us that we're born in sin. Sin is in our hearts. It's there. It came in the beginning when Adam was in the garden and he was told not to eat of a specific tree, and he was tempted and he took of that fruit and ate it, and that was disobedient. It was what God had told him not to do, and sin came in. And every one of us is a sinner, and every one of us needs a Saviour. I'm a sinner. I'm no different to anyone else. But the way of blessing, the way of salvation, is to come to Jesus. He came into this scene in which we are. Came here from God. God's beloved Son came out from God. Came here and walked this earth on which we are. Think of that, you know. Think of Jesus coming here. Think of God himself coming down in the person of his Son, in order to draw near to you and me. What a God we have to speak of, don't we? God that is prepared to draw near to the sinner in the person of his Son. Jesus came, he went that way, that pathway here that took him to the cross. His way was a way of suffering. His way was a way that led to the cross. But he went there for you and I, in order that if we come to him and put our faith and trust in him, we can know the blessing of having our sins forgiven, because he took our sins upon himself. He bore them in his own body on the tree. He bore them at Calvary. He went there to the cross. He suffered. He was at the hands of men. He was put upon that cross. I'm sure everyone here has heard it many times before and knows the story well, of the way that Jesus went and how he was put upon the cross. He went there for you and for me. And he suffered, and he bore your sins and mine. Have you put your faith and trust in the work which Jesus has done, in that shedding of his precious blood at the cross? There, when he was hanging upon the cross, he shed his precious blood, laid down his life for the judgment of a holy and righteous God, in order that your sins and mine might be forgiven. That's what Jesus has done. Have you trusted in that work which he's done? Do you know that that is the way, the only way, by which you can come into the presence of God? Come to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. Know that he died for you on the cross. Know that he bore your sins there. Know that he was prepared to take that judgment upon himself that should be yours and mine to bear. Well, I can only speak of what I know, and I can say that having trusted in the Saviour, he's borne my sins. You all need to say that for yourselves, that you've trusted in the Saviour. You know that he is the way by which you must come to God, and that you've trusted in him, and that you've had your sins forgiven. Anyone that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He'll never turn anyone aside that comes to him. Not well, this day of grace continues, and there's the opportunity, as the gospel is preached, to come to him as Saviour. He'll never turn anyone aside that has a genuine desire to come to him and trust in that work which he has done. I am the way. It's the only way, dear friend. There's no other way. There's nothing else that you can do. Nothing you can do for your sins to atone. Only trust in the work which Jesus has done. Trust in that way which he has gone, that suffering way that he went and bore your sins and mine there upon the cross. The one who suffered, the one who died, but the one in doing so, who in doing so met all the will of a holy and righteous God. And he was the one who did everything that was required of him. He was the one who was without sin. Spoke as to ourselves as all having sinned, but we need to make that distinction clear. Jesus was without sin. He knew not sin, but he was made sin in order that you and I might be blessed. What a saviour we have to present. There's no other one that we could speak of in such a way, no other one that would be prepared to go the way that Jesus went. But he went that way in love for you. He died for you. He suffered for you. He bore your sins in his body on the tree. What a way he went, and it's the way by which we must come. There's nothing else that we can do, as I've said, to atone for our sins. We can't buy salvation. We can't do it by good works. There's nothing at all that would be able to bring us into the presence of God except to come to the Saviour, the one that God has provided, the one that he has given, the one in whom we can come and we can have our access into the presence of a holy and righteous God. What a Saviour we have to present. I am the way, the truth and the life. Well, it is the truth. I don't know how you think of truth. Men, you know, they tell you things and they would have you believe sometimes that it's true, and then you find out that it's not. But dear friend, I can tell you that the gospel preaching is true. The word of God is true. The gospel is preached from the Bible. It's God's word, and the word of God is true. And it's the truth. And the truth was seen in Jesus. He was the one who perfectly demonstrated everything that is pleasing to God. All that he required of man was seen in him. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, do we know that the way that Jesus has gone is secured for us our life, our eternal life? Life here is marked by death. It will end in death. There's no other way to gloss over that fact. Man's life is but a span. Speaks, doesn't it, of God holding our breath in his hand. You know, everything that we maybe put faith and trust in here is passing. And even our life will pass if we're left here. They'll end in death. But Jesus is able to give you life. Not life as we know it here, but eternal life. Life that's found alone in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Coming to Jesus brings you into eternal blessing. There's nothing like this gospel, is there, that is preached, that we can come to Jesus, we can have our sins forgiven, we can find the truth in him, and we can know what it is to have eternal life. I read this other scripture because, in a way, I think it just gives a little practical demonstration of someone who found the way and the truth and the life. This man, you know, he was born blind. It was at a time when there weren't great physicians who could do wonderful things to help to get sight back when it had been lost. But he was born without sight. He couldn't see. He wouldn't have known of any way by which he could have got his sight. But he came into contact with the Saviour. He came into contact with Jesus. Now, he was given his physical sight. We, if we come into contact with Jesus, we can have faith. We can have sight by faith to understand and to know the great things that have been done by him and the way that's been opened up to us to have access into the presence of God. But this man, he didn't have sight, but he came into contact with Jesus, and he was told to go and to wash, and he went. It says that he said to him, "Go wash in the pool at Siloam," which is interpreted "sent." He went therefore and washed and came seeing. His blessing depended upon obedience. He was sent, he was told to go, and he went. And your blessing, dear friend, depends on your obedience to God's word, to come to the Saviour, to put your faith and trust in him, to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. It requires your obedience that you should come to the Saviour tonight and trust him for yourself and know that your sins can be forgiven and that you too, by faith, can have sight. You can see the great things that Jesus has done and you can come to know him for yourself as the one who is your Saviour, the one in whom you can trust and the one that will never let you down. So this man went, he came and he went to the pool as he was, he went and washed as he was told to do, and he came seeing, and he was able to speak about a man called Jesus and what he had done for him. Well, he found out the way in which he could get his sight, and that's the first step in coming to Jesus and trusting in him and finding that you can put your faith in him. It's being obedient to his word and asking for him to forgive you of your sins and coming to him in repentance. So he went and he knew this one that had given him this wonderful healing, and you can be healed tonight of your sins if you come to the Saviour in repentance. So he found the way, but you know, I think too, he found something more. He found the truth that it was only Jesus who was able to heal him. I didn't read it all, but I read what I wanted to draw attention to particularly, and I love this verse 31 and on. It says, "But we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone be God-fearing and do his will, him he hears. Since time was, it has not been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not of God, he would be able to do nothing." He also says just before that, "Now in this is a wonderful thing, that ye do not know whence he is, and he has opened mine eyes." He had laid hold of something. He understood what Jesus had done for him. He found the way by which he could receive his sight. And tonight you can find the way, if you put your faith and trust in the Saviour, of how you too can, by faith, receive your sight and come to know Jesus for yourself as your own personal Saviour. So he came to knew him, to know him. He found the way and he knew the truth of what Jesus had done for him. And he was prepared to stand up and tell others about what Jesus had done. They may have been dismissive, but he wasn't going to let them get away with that. He was clear in his own mind and heart that there was no one else who could have done what this man had done. Jesus had done for him something that no one else could do. And tonight, dear hearer, Jesus can do for you what no one else can do. He can forgive you of your sins. He can bring you into blessing. He can give you to know the joy of eternal life, the promise that he has given. I think this man found that too. It says that Jesus, that they cast him out, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. He came and found him. He said, "Thou, dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with thee is he." He said, "I believe, Lord," and he did him homage. He found that portion which would be his for eternity, that which he would never lose. He found the Saviour, he'd come to trust in him, but I think the fulfilment of it was the sight that he had, the seeing Jesus for himself and knowing that he was the one to whom homage was due. Well, he surely is the one to whom homage is due. He's done everything for you. He's done everything for me. He's laid down his life, given his all, everything that love could give, in order that you and I might go free. Well, I just commend the word to you. The man, as I say, is just perhaps some example of the way in which we can come to the Saviour and find him for ourselves and know that he is indeed the way, the truth and the life. Well, this man came into blessing. He knew the Saviour for himself and he knew what was due to him. Dear hearer, if we've known the Saviour for ourselves, if we've some understanding of what he has done for us in his body and in his death at Calvary. We know the weight that he bore of our sins. We will know that there is that which is due to him. How worthy he is of homage and praise from those who've put their faith and trust in him. May you be amongst those who love him, those who've trusted him, and those who are prepared to come to him and to give him homage. Well, may it be so, for his name's sake.
Amen.